Hi, I'm Matt Martin, General Manager of KALW, where we are celebrating 75 years of local public radio and asking for your support in our September campaign, our last on-air fundraiser until May of 2017. You can help make it a success and keep KALW strong for the future. Join us at KALW.org. Thanks.
KALW.
Today's show is all about a KALW project that deals with some of life's most profound realities, like death and loss. It's called The Spiritual Edge. Joining me for the hour is the director, Judy Silber. Welcome.
Hi, Hannah.
Hi. So tell me about The Spiritual Edge.
So The Spiritual Edge is a project at KALW that is looking at the leading edges of spirituality and religion. We really felt there was a hole in coverage of religion and spirituality, and that a lot of religion coverage was sort of dry and boring, but it doesn't need to be that way. Religion is, there's actually a lot happening. It's very dynamic. There's innovation. There's huge demographic shifts that are happening. And there's a lot of individualism so that people are really deciding how much and when they want to incorporate religion or spirituality into their lives. And we wanted to reflect all of that.
And I'm also happy to be part of the Spiritual Edge project too, Judy.
So excited to have you, Hannah.
So what's next for the Spiritual Edge?
There is so much coming up. We have a survey which you can take by going to KALW.org on your spiritual beliefs and practices. We have a newsletter that will be coming out bi-monthly, and we have at least one story that will be going national, but we anticipate that probably a few more will as well. And there's going to be a whole range of diverse stories about different communities in the Bay Area, stories like you've never heard before.
Let's get right to it and hear a Spiritual Edge story. And since this one is a story that I made, how about you introduce it, Judy?
All right. If you're familiar with Black churches, you know they're lively and uplifting places.
Woo! Go, put your hand together.
That's how San Francisco native Yvette Flunder remembers hers. At the Pentecostal church she grew up in, she recalls pastors and church leaders who were tender and kind and understanding. That is, until one topic came up.
And they would get in the pulpit and they would start talking about homosexuality. They'd be in the pulpit yelling and screaming and, you know, these sissies and faggots and punks and bulldaggers and dykes, you know, and it was like, great day in the morning. Where did that come? That's my sweet, gentle, kind friend.
Flunder herself was, as she calls it, a same gender loving woman. This kind of preaching drove her out of the church, but she didn't leave her religion. As a matter of fact, she went on to become a pastor. She is now Bishop Yvette Flunder of the City of Refuge United Church of Christ in Oakland, a space she founded 25 years ago to be a church that's culturally Black and radically inclusive. KALW's Hana Baba has the story.
Some of us, our faith has been tried, and we're not even certain if we still believe.
Sunday service at City of Refuge is a powerful thing to witness. About 60 people sit in the light-filled chapel, all genders, mostly Black. Some are in drag, bright, colorful clothing, high heels, and long wigs. There's some older ladies in wheelchairs, and everyone is focused on the pulpit, where Bishop Yvette Flunder is holding the mic, preaching, with the church band off to her right. People sway, raise their hands in the air, close their eyes, receiving her words.
It's just like a freedom. Like I'm, if I could close my eyes, it's like an out-of-body experience, like I'm just a bird floating around or something.
When she looks at you, you know God loves you. You can see it come through her eyes. She's an extraordinary person.
If I die, let me die in the army of the Lord.
That same incredible, intense, authentic, powerful spiritual power I felt from Martin Luther King, I feel that same thing with Bishop Flunder.
With an everlasting love.
Those were Clara Howard, Keith Patterson, and Sylvia Rue. The bishop tells the congregation they are all loved by God, and they respond with palms swaying in the air, tears running down cheeks. And when she breaks out in hymn, they join right in.
Our God, come on. Our God has touched
Yvette Flunder came from a family of preachers. She grew up in the Church of God and Christ, an African-American Pentecostal organization. It was her world, her people. So it was especially hurtful when the message she kept getting there was,
"Of course I was going to hell, along with a lot of other, you know, things that send you to hell. The primary thing that sends you to hell in a real fundamentalist church, Christian church, is sex."
Like most churches, her church preached that homosexuality was a sin. She was a sinner. She says the perception of same-gender-loving people like her was,
"Perceive same-gender-loving people as people who swing from chandeliers and, you know what I mean, and get together in groups of five and six and do all the things they want to do."
That was in the late 70s, a time of change, not long after the Stonewall riots and the assassination of Harvey Milk. Not enough had changed yet. Flunder left the flock and immersed herself in social work with the elderly, with HIV-positive people. She couldn't go back to the church, but she says the spirit never left her. It just left her without a spiritual home, struggling with her identity, without support. It was hard.
"I just felt like I didn't want to live. I didn't want to live. To go to sleep and don't wake up. And you don't have to deal with any of it. And stop asking God, why did you make me like this? You know, this is a cruel, cruel joke to do this. And then leave me down here to deal with all these crazy people." That was a mean thing to do. You know, and I remember feeling that way.
Then one evening in 1980, she was driving home from work when, she says, something came over her.
"I started to weep, started to pray out loud, started to pray in tongues, which is the Pentecostal experience, you know. I hadn't done that in years. You know, I'd had that experience, but it had been so long. And I pulled over to the side, and then I heard what was almost like an audible voice that said to me that I needed to surrender. And I said, well, you know, they don't want me. And that was me talking back. So that, well, I'm going to create a place that will want you."
Flunder joined the Love Center Ministry in Oakland in 1984. She sang in the choir and ministered and was later ordained as pastor, like her father and grandfather before her. She went on to earn a doctorate of ministry. In 1991, she founded City of Refuge, a place to practice the radically inclusive love of Jesus Christ. Nobody, she says, would be made to feel less than loved. And her degrees in theology allowed her to interpret the Bible, not just in an ancient context, but for the here and now, in the language of today.
"They said he ain't nothing but Mary's boy. He ain't all that. We ain't bowing. Can't be no son of God. We know his mama pregnant at 14. He can't be all that. He didn't get any respect in Nazareth."
I think we made a mistake putting a back cover on the Bible. In fact, putting a back cover on the Quran. Putting a back cover on any holy writ as though God cannot ever speak again. As though God's mouth is now shut. Because we have some ancient writing. There was a time it wasn't ancient. There was a time it was new. And if God could speak then, God can speak now.
She says interpreting the text through one rigid lens doesn't make room for change. Different times, different cultures, different norms.
So there is no me to compare me to in the text. Because we had not evolved culturally to me. Let me say it this way. My partner and I have been together, my spouse, for 32 years. There is nothing in the Bible about us because we were, for all intents and purposes, impossible. The fact that I am a woman leader in a denomination because I pastor pastors, most of which are men, I'm impossible for that time, certainly. For some people in this time, I am impossible. But yet, you're looking at me. I do exist.
But still, not to all churches. Research shows the number of Black Protestants who approve of gay marriage is significantly lower than white Protestants. 39% of Blacks approve, while whites are at 64%. Last year, more than 30,000 Black churches broke from the Presbyterian Church of America when it decided to support same-sex marriage.
These gays is going to hell. But I come to bring the good news, even though it's abomination in the sight of God. But pray that you turn to God. That's what Christ went to Calvary for. He died that you could be delivered, that your life could be changed.
Bishop Flunder says to understand why many Blacks feel this way, especially in church, you have to explore the Black male psyche.
Because men of color have been so emasculated in this society and diminished in this society. And one of the few places where they can feel powerful and strong is in the organizations that were created by people of color.
Like the church.
This is the place where a man could be called a boy all day, but you come to the church and you're Deacon Jones and you sit in that big bottom chair and you sit at the front and you drive your Chrysler 300 and you feel like $1 million. Mm-hmm. That's true. So to be gay, in their thinking, feminized men, diminished men. To be lesbian, in their thinking, masculinized women, both of which were very problematic, where the patriarchy is frail.
You're sensual. You want to feel like a girl. I wish God would give you the monthly of a girl. I wish he had you bleeding out of your butt. I believe he had.
I tease and say I'm a recovering Catholic because I was raised in the Catholic Church of the 1950s and 60s, which might as well have been the 15th century.
For congregant Keith Patterson, City of Refuge was in sharp contrast with everything he thought about God.
I was raised with a God that was condemning and judgmental, and there was nothing but rules and dogma and theology to follow. So it was very difficult for me. I felt that always that I was constantly in sin.
Patterson is bisexual and was convinced he was too much of a sinner to go to church. So after high school, he left. He suffered from drug addiction, was diagnosed with HIV, got prostate cancer. He says he went through all these life struggles with no spiritual connection. But through his recovery program, he was introduced to City of Refuge and Bishop Flunder.
She encourages you to have a personal relationship with God. And how she does that, one of the ways she does that is that she asks you to be reminded when you are at your lowest. I'm getting ready to get a little emotional because she does this so well. Because when she says these things about remember the time when you were here, or remember the time when that hurt you, or remember when that time you were sick, or when she'll even say it when you were on crack, when you were selling your body, when you were in jail, and when you're sitting there in the pew, you know she's talking to you. And then she says that was God that loved you before you could love yourself.
In the City of Refuge, the drummer, guitarist, and organist jam. The bishop sings. One man passes out tambourines. A woman hands out paper fans. The congregation rises to its feet and falls in joy and pain and joy again, clapping fast and stomping their feet.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Yeah! Glory to God!
This is the quintessential Black church experience, the praise break. Everybody is up and dancing. A man passes around tissues because people are weeping and sniffling and sweating. Folks are twirling in their place, eyes closed, arms up. A woman in a wheelchair is bawling with her family around her. Some folks pass out. The woman next to me has a man standing real close to her, guarding her in case she falls from her state of ecstasy. It feels like the room itself is alive, with lungs that breathe and a heart that beats. For Bishop Flunder, these intense moments of connection with God is what it's all about. A God that isn't mad at anybody here.
If this God thing is not healing people and helping people, if all it's doing is condemning people, and sending them to destruction, if it doesn't bring life, if there is no joy, if there is no freedom, if there is no way for you to become your best and highest self, then why in the world are we even fooling with it? We need to get out of this list of laws and regulations and move ourselves to something that brings life.
In the City of Refuge, I'm Hannah Baba for Cross Currents.